Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is All Saints Day. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for his sermon topic, Who Are These? Based on Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. And thank you to Bill and Barb Rinken for sponsoring our radio broadcast this morning, sharing God's Word in celebration of their 47th wedding anniversary. We appreciate the service they have given to the congregation of time and talents and pray for God's grace and blessings on their marriage. This is Judy Toop.
Good morning. It's great to see you here on this All Saints Sunday. So thankful to see you, and it's amazing what an extra hour of sleep can do for us. Well rested, and I hope you all as well. We are going to get a new microphone pack soon.
We're trying to give it a shot. I'll just try to project throughout the service, and hopefully they'll pick me up on the various microphones across the sanctuary. But again, I'm so thankful that you are here, and that we remember on this All Saints Sunday the many blessings that God has given us. We remember specifically the blessing of the saints that we have preceded us into glory, and we remember with thanksgiving for the witness that they've done, and we do so in thanksgiving that where they are, we will be also in the presence of God, in His glory, basking in His and in His grace and mercy. And so we do so in confidence for the joy looking ahead to His future promise for us also. A special welcome to everyone who is listening to us on the online and on the radio. We are so thankful that you are here with us as well. We begin with our opening song, number 563.
Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and
since people want to take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Well, dear saints, I have a great news for you this morning. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me.
For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me.
Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
First reading for this All Saints Sunday comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. To me, but the more I learn about raising cattle, the more I wish I never learned. And although I'm somewhat joking, in all seriousness though, it is a dirty job. If you're a cattle farmer, then there's a lot that you just have to get used to, and there's certain things that you just have to accept, that you're going to get dirty, and you're gonna come in contact with a wide variety of bodily fluids that I don't want to dwell on too long. But this past week, I read a little article about one particular cattle farmer, and from him, I think I got a fuller picture of everything that means. And I'm sure while there's a few of you who'll be able to just outright identify with this man, for those of us who aren't cattle farmers, it probably won't take us much imagination. This man went through a whole list of his duties. He vaccinated, he cut off horns, he castrated, marked ears, he branded and bred cattle. And this morning, without getting into a whole lot of detail, all I can really say again is that it is a dirty job. And it's a job that brings you into contact with a whole concoction of fluids, from blood to manure to snot and to anything and everything else. It's a cocktail of unclean and vile fluids. If only the fluids would just stay on the inside, if they would just remain inside the body, then all would be good. In fact, when the fluids are inside the body, we don't even bat an eye. We don't even think about it. And that's true for cattle and people alike. We share so much of these same bodily fluids, but as long as they remain inside the body, it is no big deal. But when anything flows out, that is when we get grossed out. And that's true, though, except for one notable exception. There's one bodily fluid that's almost uniquely human among the animal kingdom, and there's one fluid that's not naturally repulsive to us, and that is tears. And what's interesting, though, is that tears are almost uniquely human among the animal kingdom. The number of animals that shed tears you can count on one hand. But it's the cries of people that stands distinct. It's the woes and griefs of men and women that tower above the animal kingdom. And it's the tears of people that God is concerned with himself. In fact, it's often said that the tears of people even moves God to turn his face towards them. And nothing is truer than that of the tears of God's people. Instead of being revolted and disgusted by tears, God rather turns his gaze upon them. He turns his gaze upon his children, he sees their tears, and he is moved with compassion. In Exodus, we see just one example of this. We're told that while the Jews were enslaved in Egypt, they're under heavy chains and under the burdensome, abusive yoke of their taskmasters. And from their enslavement, the Lord then speaks, saying, "Surely I have seen the misery of my people. I have heard them cry, and I am concerned about their suffering." And from there, God then acts. And again, in the Gospel of John, we likewise see tears moving Jesus to compassion. When Lazarus dies in John 11, we're told that Jesus came near the tomb. And upon seeing Lazarus's sister crying by the tomb, seeing her tears, Jesus breaks down himself. And John says, seeing her weep, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Seeing the tears of one of his followers hit the very soul of Jesus. And immediately we are told that Jesus wept. We see here that a single tear shall prove weighty enough to tug upon the very heartstrings of the Almighty. The weight of a single tear weighs heavily upon the heart of God, for God cherishes his people, and he pays close attention to the cries of his children. In fact, King David had a deep understanding of this truth. And in Psalm 56, he was led to cry out, "Lord, you know my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle." David uses such poetic language, and he says it so confidently. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit guiding his mouth and pen, David says, "O Lord, bottle up my tears." God is so concerned for his saints that it's as if he's even bottling up their tears. While other people may bottle up rich wine and freshly pressed olive oil, God, however, bottles up the tears of his saints. Not a single tear can hit the ground or even wet the cheek without the Lord taking notice. And as David goes on, he says concerning his tears, "Are they not in your book? Have you not recorded them in the book of remembrance?" See here how there's no grief or pain that passes by the good Father unaware. If you are God's child, then every tear of yours is eternally in the presence of God. Every tear, though it may dry off and be remembered no more, though it may be forgotten by friend and neighbor, and though it may dry off the pillow and be dried off your cheek, still though it shall exist in the eternal memory and heart of God. It's still there, bottled in the presence of the Lord as he longs to deliver you from the pains of life. In our Revelation reading this morning, we read in verse 17, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And in this verse, we see such a beautiful promise that God is going to one day, once and for all, wipe away every tear from the eyes of his saints. And yet, at the same time, here in this verse, we see both good news and bad news. Though it's a good news that a day is drawing near when tears shall prove a foreign reality. However, though, in the meantime, it also implies that we must first have tears. In order for there to be a wiping away of tears, it means that there must be an experience of tears. In order for God to wipe away tears, there must first be tears in the eyes of his children. If you look at the context of Revelation 7, John is having a heavenly vision. And we're told that he sees a great multitude that no one could number. And in verse 14, we're told, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. The great tribulation, he says. It's often taught about the Great Tribulation as if it's some short period of intense persecution for the church. And perhaps such an interpretation is true, but I think in the context it best be understood as one long tribulation of God's saints on earth. These are the ones coming out of the Great Tribulation that expands all human history. For every saint, every child of God, truly they must come out of and have their share in the great tribulation. Dear friends, surely it's true that as you travel through life and as you journey in the midst of the wilderness of this world, you must traverse across both thorns and thistles. Briars grow naturally and plentifully along the path of life. And step as you may, you will and you must at times feel their power to wound the soul. Pain sharp enough to bring forth tears must be felt if you are a son or daughter of Adam. For like the saints in John's vision, we too must enter paradise through great tribulation. It's as if the saints of God come to the very gates of heaven weeping. They come to the promised land with tears long dried upon their cheeks. And they come with even more fresh tears in their eyes. Because rain clouds extend and hover over every landscape of life. And every milestone and landmark experiences the rough winds of storm. And no one can journey year in and year out without feeling the weariness along the way. At times we may forget to laugh, but we shall always remember what it is like to weep. For as a towel drenched with water drips, so must a man weep from the griefs that surround and fill him. For we all alike have tears of many kinds, and we all have a share in the great tribulation. In fact, time would fail me to expound on the various types and causes of tears. And I'm sure many would hardly even need to be spoken of anyways, for in many ways, the pains of saints are not all different than the pains of those of the world. There are plenty of pains that are just common for all mankind. No saint is spared from the physical pains that universally fall upon the children of Adam. The Christian suffers in the ways that are common to the rest of humanity. And along with their unregenerate neighbor, the Christian too experiences the acuteness of physical pain. There's relentless weariness of our bodies that takes its toll. Our bones, our muscles, joints, and organs are just as prone to disease, and they're just as susceptible to painful degeneration. The Christian experiences not only the physical pains that are common to the world, but the common emotional pains as well. We know what it's like to lose loved ones. Death contributes to our woes as we gather along the gravesides. Our tears flow forth as our closest friends prove time and time again that we are but mere mortals of flesh. And our closest friends, parents, and other loved ones often must pass before us. And brothers and sisters also must fall before the scythe of death. And likewise, we cry tears as we weep with those who weep. And yet, in this great tribulation of life and on this side of heaven, the pains and tears don't stop there. For how often we likewise cry the cries of a child being reprimanded. We feel the consequences of sinful rebellion. Sin is often the mother of our sorrows. Sin and rebellion often bring harsher and more painful woes than does the providence of God's will. For we steer our vessel of self-will against the very will of God. And yet we cry and we murmur when the waves beat violently against us. We cry cries of unbelief when we distrust God and in his sovereign, loving providence. And so often we imagine ourselves outside the realm of which God reigns and rules, doubting his goodness and doubting his lordship. With added tears upon tears do we suffer through these areas of life. And we do not trust the Lord, and therefore we fear and suffer a hundredfold more than what we should. Our unbelief often vexing our souls and bringing us to cry tears of hopelessness. And although there's tears of many more varieties that we could go on to address, there's just one more that I want to address here, for we also shed tears of repentance. We shed tears over our fallen nature, longing for God to deliver us from our bodies of death. As you can see, tears shall accompany the eyes of Christians throughout all of life until they reach the pearly gates. For we shall only reach paradise through traveling through a great tribulation. And yet, if crying and shedding tears is fundamentally a part of what it means to be a human on this side of heaven, then we see that collecting tears and being moved by tears is fundamentally divine. As natural to the human body is grief, so is it natural to God's Spirit to be concerned and to cherish the tears of his children. And in verse 17, we see again, that is why that on the last day, God will wipe every tear from your eye. It's as if in our glorified bodies, there will be no tear glands left. Those in Christ, they shall have no need of such an organ. It's as if their entire gland shall just be taken away, for there will be no use of it. The Lord's sovereign handkerchief, it's mysterious beyond our comprehension, and it's a medicine for all sorrows, for he will wipe away all tears, never for them to return again. For you will be left with no need unprovided for. You will have no wanting desire. No deepest wish shall be unobtained by the saints in heaven, for God will be with you, and he will be all in all. We will be caught up in Christ, and there will be no more pain, no more sorrow. There shall be no greater thing imaginable with which we could still hope for. For we will be one with Christ, one with him in spirit, and one with him in will. The infinite and the almighty will be dwelling in our midst perfectly, completely, and lovingly. Our bodies will be perfected and glorified, the desires satisfied, our needs abundantly met, and our wills sanctified and brought perfectly in unity with God's. This is what the Lord promises to those who come out of the great tribulation victoriously, a wiping away of tears. And dear friends, we can be confident that we too shall be numbered among this multitude. For again, verse 14 tells us, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is the one who stands victorious and who conquers. All who have washed in the blood of the Lamb, they shall receive the promises spoken of in this passage. For this promise is made for all those whose sins are forgiven. All who are covered by the blood of the Lamb, and all who trust in the Lamb's sacrificial death, all who trust in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, shall be clothed in these white robes of righteousness. For Jesus' blood washes clean all stains of sin, and the purity of his blood covers every spot and blemish of unrighteousness. And though we come to the pearly gates in filthy rags, he shall clothe us in his own righteousness, and we shall be arrayed in shining glory of the only begotten Son. Through repentance and confession and humble admission, we are conquerors in Christ. For Christ has conquered death and the grave. He has risen victoriously from the chains of the tomb, and nothing could hold the sovereign Lord and the King down. Nothing could silence the God who spoke the world into being, and no one could silence the Word made flesh. For with a single word, he caused Satan and death to flee, and the Lord stands victorious. Wash yourself in the blood of Christ and trust in the living sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb who died in your place. He has seen your tears. He has seen your woes and pains, and he has gone to the cross to carry your burden. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Trust in the blood of Christ, and you shall be more than conquerors. You shall tread over death, sin, grief, and sorrow itself. There will be no more pain and no more tears for those in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand and join me in prayer?
Protect them and keep them safe.
and use them to protect life and property. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for looking after Alan and his family, upon them testing positive for COVID. We thank you that they are back home and have no serious side effects. Be with all of your children and loved ones, that they may too be comforted in body and spirit as you bring your word and truth to them. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray and grieve along with the family and friends of Sam Ed. Be with them and comfort them in the knowledge that in you there is eternal life. We thank you for the work that you have done both in and through Sam over these many years. We thank you for calling him in his baptism and calling him into your holy family. Give all his loved ones assurance that in Christ they shall see Sam again and see you face to face. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, Lord, we pray for all who are on our prayer list this morning, all who are on our hearts and minds. Protect them, look after them, and provide for them all their physical and spiritual needs. For you know their needs, and nothing catches you off guard. Continue in your perfect and good work to use all things together for our good. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord of the living, and Lord of the saints, we come before you this morning remembering all of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us into glory. We thank you for each of them, for their witness, for their life, and for using them for your glory. And this morning, we remember with thanksgiving, especially those who have passed this past year from us. On that list, we include at this time, and we thank you for Sharon Swopes. And for all of our brothers and sisters and sister congregations, and for the saints around the world. We thank you, Lord, for continuing to call saints from around the world, calling them into your kingdom and granting them eternal life through your grace, through the sacrificial death on the cross. Lord, in your mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Lord, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
thank you.
give a salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.